Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.
This MLB season, FanDuel's Dinger Tuesday is back. And this year, all customers get a profit boost to bet home runs every week. So gear up to go yard all season long on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in select states. Opt-in required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and max wager amount. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly, and today I am hopping on the mic, kind of unexpected, unplanned, to talk about a case that's going on right now in Frisco, Texas. We're talking about Carmelo Anthony and Austin Metcalf. There was an altercation at a track meet on April 2nd, and Austin Metcalf ended up losing his life after Carmelo Anthony stabbed him in the chest with a knife over a pretty minor confrontation, from what I understand. So there's so much information going on around this case. I've seen so many posts that that are really grabby headlines that I don't think are fully accurate. And I just want to get ahead of it so that we have the correct information going forward. According to eyewitness accounts, people who actually were there actually know what's going on, without the hearsay, he said, she said bullshit. So anyway, without further ado, let's get into it. It was a rainy Wednesday morning on April 2nd, just a few weeks ago, I guess, at this point, at David Kuykendall Stadium in Frisco, Texas. A district track and field meet was underway when an argument between two student athletes turned deadly. According to police, around 10 a.m., a 17-year-old senior from Centennial High School, Carmelo Anthony, took shelter from the rain under a tent that was reserved for Frisco Memorial High School athletes. That tent was where Austin Metcalf, a 17-year-old junior at Memorial High, and his teammates, including his twin brother, were gathered during the weather delay. Apparently, Austin spotted Carmelo and told him he was in the wrong spot and needed to move. That tent was apparently reserved for that school's athletes. And whether he was nice about it or not, let's, for the sake of the story, say that Austin was kind of aggressive when he told Carmelo to move. Carmelo did not leave the tent when he was told to leave. Instead, he allegedly reached into his backpack and issued a warning saying, "Touch me and see what happens." This was Carmelo's response as Austin tried to make him move. When Austin did make physical contact, apparently a witness said that Austin pushed or grabbed Carmelo in an attempt to remove him from the tent. Carmelo then replied, "Punch me and see what happens." And then in the heat of the scuffle, Carmelo Anthony pulled out a black folding knife from his backpack and stabbed Austin once in the chest. And the blow apparently pierced Austin Metcalf's heart, which caused catastrophic injury. He started bleeding out. Witnesses described seeing Austin clutch his chest and cry out for help as Carmelo ran away from the scene amid all the chaos. And Austin Metcalf then collapsed. His twin brother Hunter was nearby and rushed to his side, desperately trying to stop the bleeding. And other students and coaches were yelling for help. Trainers on site and first responders performed CPR and even administered blood transfusions in a fight to save the boy's life. I think the transfusions happened later at the hospital, but regardless, a lot of effort was made to save his life. He was hurried to a local hospital, but less than an hour after the stabbing, he was pronounced dead. He died in his brother's arms, according to family and police accounts. Now, Carmelo Anthony was apprehended by Frisco police shortly after the stabbing. He did not deny what he had done. In fact, upon being taken into custody, Carmelo made a chilling statement to officers saying, "I'm not alleged, I did it." And this was when two officers arrived on the scene and one officer was telling the other one, "This is the alleged suspect." And Carmelo said, "I'm not alleged, I did it." He immediately started claiming that it was self-defense, saying that Austin had put hands on him after he'd warned him not to. Officers then noted that Carmelo was crying hysterically during his arrest, repeatedly asking if Austin was going to be okay and whether his actions would count as self-defense. These early statements kind of set the stage for the legal battle and the public debate that soon followed, even as the reality set in that one teenager was dead and another was in handcuffs for his murder. By that afternoon, Frisco police had arrested Carmelo Anthony on a charge of first-degree murder. And in Texas, a first-degree murder charge usually involves intentionally and premeditatedly killing another person. And the consequences of a first-degree murder conviction in Texas are pretty severe, potentially including life in prison or the death penalty. The arrest warrant affidavit, which is now public, corroborates much of the details that I described before. It details how a seating dispute under the team tent escalated almost instantaneously. Carmelo, a student from a different school, was in Memorial's tent due to the rain that was literally about to come. So after the fight and the altercation happened, there was a downpour and police were really kind of scrambling to preserve any evidence that was left on the bleachers. So they moved the tent over to where the actual stabbing took place. So there are pictures online of the tent. There's actually pictures of like multiple tents on the bleachers. And the tent, it was actually moved down to cover where the altercation actually took place. So when you look at it, that's not originally where the tent was. They moved it to preserve the evidence from the rain.
I also want to note that Carmelo didn't try to run away from the scene. I mean, he ran from the altercation, but he stayed in the vicinity. So when police arrived, he was there. He wasn't trying to run from the police or anything like that. He was cooperating. And he told police, he put his hands on me. I told him not to, as he was crying, insisting that he acted to protect himself. So eyewitness accounts in the affidavit strengthen both the timeline and the notion that Austin Metcalf initiated the physical contact. And one student witness saw Austin approach and push Carmelo after the verbal exchange, which is the moment that Carmelo drew the knife out of his bag. Another witness recalled Carmelo warning Austin just before the stabbing, suggesting that Carmelo was anticipating a fight. And these details have become crucial as Carmelo's defense hints at a self-defense justification. Carmelo Anthony is 17 years old, so he is legally considered an adult in the Texas criminal system for such a violent charge. And after his arrest on April 2nd, Carmelo was booked into the Collin County Jail, and initially a judge set his bail at $1 million, effectively keeping him in custody pending further legal action. So for nearly 2 weeks, he remained behind bars as his family and attorneys prepared to fight for his release. Then a few days ago, on April 14th, Carmelo Anthony appeared in court in McKinney, Texas, for a bond hearing that would decide whether he could leave jail while awaiting trial. The courtroom was packed on both sides. There were supporters for Carmelo, and then there were, which included family, friends, a football coach, and even a manager from his part-time job. And then there were also supporters there for Austin Metcalf and his family. After about an hour of arguments, Judge Angela Tucker made a pivotal decision when she reduced Carmelo Anthony's bond from $1 million to $250,000, essentially clearing the way for his release from jail that same day. So Carmelo's family posted bond, and by 4:20 p.m. on April 14th, he walked out of the Collin County Jail silent, and he was surrounded by a few supporters but a ton of media to begin his house arrest. Now, under the strict conditions that were set by the judge, Carmelo must wear an electronic ankle monitor and stay at his home 24/7. He can only leave the house with expressed permission from the court, limited to specific purposes like visiting his attorney or attending future court dates. And even then, he must be accompanied by an adult chaperone at all times. Additionally, he is forbidden from contacting the Metcalf family in any way, including via social media, while he awaits the next steps in the case. On Austin's side of the courtroom, his mother broke down in tears as the judge announced Carmelo's release on bond. For Austin's grieving family, seeing the suspect allowed to go home, even under monitoring, was very difficult, especially considering they had just laid Austin to rest a couple days prior to that. However, the judge's rationale considered several factors, including Carmelo's age, his lack of any prior criminal record, and his strong ties to the community, as evidenced by the turnout of supporters and character witnesses on his behalf. Now, these are standard considerations in a bond hearing where the goal is really to ensure the accused will return to court and not pose a danger, rather than to punish them before the trial, because everybody is, you know, considered innocent until they are proven guilty. As of now, Carmelo Anthony remains under house arrest at his family's home in Frisco, and the case is moving forward through the justice system. Collin County District Attorney Greg Willis noted that the prosecutors are now focused on reviewing the police investigation and presenting the case to a grand jury, which will then decide whether to formally indict Carmelo on the murder charge. If the grand jury returns an indictment, which is expected in a case like this, considering all the evidence and the statements that he made to police, the case will proceed to trial unless a plea deal is reached earlier. And the DA said, quote, "What we are concerned about as prosecutors is justice, truth, and accountability, and so we will go where the facts lead us." He then called a situation like this a terrible tragedy for the entire community, acknowledging that while the Metcalf family lost their son, the Anthony family is also experiencing a very different kind of loss as their son faces the consequences. I know that there are going to be a lot of high-tempered feelings about this, and I'm going to give kind of my two cents at the end if you're even interested in that, and if you're not, that's totally fine. But I do really want to kind of check the pulse on where you guys all feel about this. So at the end, I will kind of give my two cents, and then I really want to hear from you guys. Now, Carmelo Anthony's defense attorneys have not revealed their full strategy yet, but they have hinted at self-defense and the existence of, you know, two sides to every story. Outside the courthouse, defense lawyer Mike Howard characterized the judge's bond decision as fair, reiterating that bail is not supposed to be an instrument of oppression. It is not supposed to punish before trial. And he stressed that once all the facts come out, he is confident that the truth will come out. And he pointedly noted that, quote, every Texan has the right to defend themselves when they reasonably fear for their life, end quote. Now, this line gives a preview of the self-defense argument likely to be central in Anthony's case under Texas law. In Texas, self-defense can be legally justified with the use of deadly force in some circumstances, but it will be up to the jury to decide if those conditions truly existed during this confrontation. And that is where my opinion is rooted from. Now, I want to talk about the public reaction to this because it is really interesting. In the wake of Austin's death, the community rallied to support both of the families involved. Friends, neighbors, and even strangers were looking for ways to help honor both of the teens. So fundraisers were launched online for not only Austin's family, but also Carmelo's family. And together, they have raised hundreds of thousands of dollars within just a week or two of the incident. The Metcalfs started a GoFundMe page to help cover Austin's funeral costs and support his twin brother and, you know, his future and his counseling needs, because he literally held his twin brother in his arms as he took his last breath. These are 17-year-old boys. Like, let's not forget the human component here and how absolutely traumatic that event had to be. I also want to note that Austin has been remembered as an exceptional young man, a 4.0 GPA honor student, the MVP of the Memorial High School football team, and a bright young man with a great future ahead. And the community responded generously with contributions and messages of condolences that just poured in, reflecting how deeply Austin's loss was felt. A memorial service was held on April 12th, just 2 days before Carmelo was released, and it was held at a local church where hundreds of people attended to celebrate Austin's life. Many wore football jerseys in his honor. He was a star linebacker who wore number 25, and a scholarship fund is being set up in his name. But what is more unusual, and I say unusual because it's just not typical, okay? So whatever your feelings about it, I'm just calling it like it is. What's more unusual is that a significant wave of public support also formed in favor of Carmelo Anthony, despite Carmelo's admission that he stabbed Austin. Many individuals, including classmates, community activists, and people following the story online, have expressed empathy with Carmelo's situation, or they are urging others not to rush to judgment. On social media, several posts argued that Carmelo might have felt threatened or cornered and thus acted in what he perceived as self-defense. Some have pointed out that it was one teenager against a group from another school, implying that Carmelo may have been scared or, you know, thought he was going to get jumped. And a legal defense fundraiser was apparently organized to assist the Anthony family, which quickly gathered substantial funds, like into the six figures, for his bond and legal fees. I actually just checked on it, and it's already up to over $450,000, and this is for his bond and legal fees. Now, family, friends, and supporters describe Carmelo as a very respectful teen, a team captain in both football and track, and an excellent student. In other words, not someone with a history of violence. And this sympathy for a person charged with murder is striking, and it has stirred intense discussions about race, justice, and bias, which we will dive into shortly. Now, at the April 14th bond hearing, the presence of community supporters on Carmelo's behalf was very noticeable. They rejoiced quietly when the bond was reduced and Carmelo was able to go home. Meanwhile, the supporters of Austin's family have been vocal that their priority is justice for Austin. So the split in support has been very painful on both sides. After the court hearing, both families, the Metcalfs and the Anthonys, through their attorneys, pleaded with the public to tone down the rhetoric and stop any threats or harassment that is aimed at either family. In fact, on the day that Carmelo was released, extra security was present at the courthouse because of concerns over the vitriol that has been circulating online.
Summer's here, and Nordstrom has everything you need for your best dress season ever. From beach days and weddings to weekend getaways and your everyday wardrobe, discover stylish options under $100 from tons of your favorite brands like Mango, Skims, Princess Polly, and Madewell. It's easy, too, with free shipping and free returns, in-store order pickup, and more. Shop today in-stores, online at Nordstrom.com, or download the Nordstrom app.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max Bundle. It's the ultimate bundle for an unbelievable price. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. Get it and watch Marvel Television's Ironheart on Disney Plus.
I want to build something iconic.
A new season of The Bear on Hulu.
We can make people happy.
And The Epic, a Minecraft movie on Max.
Anything you can imagine is possible.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max Bundle. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. All these and more now streaming. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlusHuluMaxBundle.com for details.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Austin's family, despite their immense grief, has shown remarkable grace in public. Jeff Metcalf, who was Austin's father, has been the voice of the family in many media interviews. And less than 24 hours after losing his son, Jeff astonished many by stating that he forgives the young man who has been accused of killing Austin. He said, quote, "He murdered my son by stabbing him in the heart. You know what? I already forgive this person. God takes care of things," end quote. He has also repeatedly said that he is not seeking revenge. In one interview, he even expressed sympathy for Carmelo's parents, saying that he feels for the family of the alleged assailant because his life is over. His family will be devastated also. So it's a perspective that recognizes that two families have now been destroyed. One loses their beloved son, and the other faces the reality that their son took a life and may lose his future because of it. Now, at the same time, Jeff Metcalf has been adamant that Austin's death should not be turned into a racial or political sideshow. There were early rumors swirling on social media attempting to frame the incident in racial terms, which I'll touch on in just a second. But Jeff confronted those directly, saying, quote, "I want to clarify something right off the bat. This was not a race thing. This is not a political thing. Please do not comment if you don't know what happened." In other words, don't fan the flames of speculation or turn this tragedy into some platform for unrelated agendas. His stance has been supported by local officials. They, too, say that there is no indication that race played any role in the confrontation itself. It appears to have been a clash of personalities and tempers in a high-pressure sports environment that tragically got out of control, not this premeditated or bias-driven attack. But even though authorities state that race was not a factor in the altercation itself, the public discourse around the case almost immediately split along racial lines. The reason is sadly familiar in America. The suspect, Carmelo Anthony, is Black, and the victim, Austin Metcalf, was white. This fact pattern, a Black teen killing a white teen, is relatively uncommon in high-profile cases, and it became a lightning rod on social media. Commenters from all sides are weighing in. In some corners of the internet, people framed the incident as an example of a young Black man being defended by liberal activists despite having killed a white classmate. In other corners, people argue that if the races were reversed, like if a white student stabbed a Black student, that it would be a huge deal, that it would have attracted even more outrage and possibly a different response from law enforcement. But these hypotheticals and debates, many of them purely speculative, started to really overshadow the actual facts. And worse, misinformation began to spread. And I'm seeing this everywhere. I'm seeing so many posts with these really grabby headlines trying to get you to, you know, it's trying to invoke feelings according to what side of the political spectrum you land on, which is really unfortunate considering the trauma that exists for these very real families. And what we're seeing online is crazy. Within a day of the stabbing, there were fake social media posts that were appearing impersonating officials to spread false details about the case. One particularly insidious post pretended to be a message from Frisco Police Chief David Shilson, complete with the department's logo and everything, and it pushed inflammatory claims, essentially propaganda designed to play up these racial fears. In reality, Chief Shilson has issued no such statement, and Frisco authorities publicly debunked the fake chief post and announced that they are working with the FBI to track down whoever created it, calling it a criminal impersonation intended to create fear, hate, and division. Experts who analyzed the bogus post said that it was a sophisticated attempt to weaponize racial tensions and sow doubt about the investigation. And this is a tactic seen in other high-profile incidents where trolls or agitators try to ignite this proverbial fire online for their own motives or agendas. Nonetheless, on social media and even in some national media commentary, the case has been portrayed in almost tribal terms. Some users on platforms like Facebook or Reddit have expressed what they perceive as a double standard. They claimed that because the victim was white, the story wasn't getting the same outrage coverage that might occur if the roles were reversed, while others argued the opposite, that because the suspect is black, he was being unfairly villainized. In extreme discussions, people have invoked the term race war, suggesting that this tragedy is being used as fuel in an ongoing racial conflict narrative. And this kind of talk alarmed leaders on both sides. In fact, Carmelo's defense attorney, Mike Howard, has said that such rhetoric is harmful to both families and the community at large. And he's absolutely right. It's exactly the kind of inflamed language that the Metcalf and Anthony families have been begging people to stop using. And I just want to reiterate that it's worth noting that both teenagers involved were well-liked, accomplished student athletes in their own right. And this only adds to the heartache and the complexity of the situation. Some who know Carmelo have suggested that he may have felt bullied or provoked in that moment under the tent, being somewhere he wasn't supposed to be and getting called out in front of other people. And perhaps that sense of pride or fear contributed to his extreme reaction. But these, of course, are like really premature impressions or assumptions. The actual legal determination of self-defense versus murder will hinge on very specific facts, like who initiated the physical aggression, whether Carmelo had a reasonable fear of serious harm, and this is all under the Texas self-defense law. Now, another thing I keep seeing online, especially within the last few days, is that Carmelo and his family are living in this really expensive, like, $900,000 home in this really nice gated community. And people are apparently outraged by this, suggesting that they bought this house with their GoFundMe money that was raised and that they have this new car or multiple new cars and that, you know, he basically has won the lottery or hit the jackpot. But I want to point out some things because I was curious about the actual facts around that. I thought people were kind of spreading misinformation. And the first thing to tip me off about it was this happened April 2nd, you guys. It's April 17th. So you're telling me in a matter of 2 weeks, the family was able to secure a mortgage to buy this fancy home in a gated community. I mean, that right there in itself just raised red flags for me. Maybe they are renting it, but even then, you're telling me within the last 2 weeks, they've managed to secure a rental property in a gated community and buy all these new cars. Apparently, a resident in the neighborhood who is not anonymous. So honestly, it could be anyone saying that they're a resident and they're speaking out to the New York Post of all publications. But they're saying that there is a newer vehicle with paper tags dated for June 2nd, apparently, or June 4th, indicating that they must have bought this vehicle recently. Well, we don't know who that vehicle actually belongs to. It could be someone that's just visiting the Anthony home. It doesn't mean that it's actually Carmelo or any of his family members' car. And I have yet to see anywhere that confirms how long they have actually been living in that house. So it's entirely possible that they've been living in that house since prior to this incident. And I also want to point out that even though the GoFundMe has raised over $450,000, I don't think that you can just withdraw it that quickly. And I also think there's probably fees that are taken out of that. So it's not going to be the entire $450,000 or whatever the ultimate amount ends up being. I'm sure there's a lot of like hoops and everything that they have to jump through to even retrieve that money. And regardless, they're going to have to come up with funds for his defense team as well. So surely not all of this money is going to be earmarked for some mansion in a gated community. But anyway, that's just my two cents on that part. As far as my opinion on the actual incident itself, I'm going to speak on just the facts of the case without considering their races. I really feel like this was a heated exchange that got out of hand way too quickly. And to bring a knife in your bag to school to attract me at 10 a.m. on a Wednesday, and you instantly pull that knife out when you're confronted with some aggression, I just don't think that you'll be able to prove to a jury that you believed your life was in imminent danger, which resulted in you having to use deadly force against another kid. These are 17-year-old boys. They're at an athletic event, even if it is a track meet, but it could have been anything. It could have been a football game, a basketball game. Tensions are always going to run high. We see fights happen all the time in the stands, even with fans. But you're going to tell me that every fight that occurs at a sports event or even in the hallways of a high school, that it's okay and excused to use deadly force, whether that's with a knife or a gun? That sets a very dangerous precedent that any altercation, whether it's verbal or even mildly physical, like just pushing him. I mean, I don't think Carmelo has any bruises or any actual physical injuries. He acted so quickly to defend himself, even if that was the case, but he used such deadly force. Like, I just feel like this whole thing could have been solved without the use of deadly force. And trust me when I say, I would say that if the races were reversed. I know that this is a huge race thing, but I wish that it wasn't. And I know that the families wish that it wasn't also. But unfortunately, that is kind of what is dominating the online discourse right now. So do I believe that Austin Metcalf is perfectly innocent? No, I think he probably acted like an arrogant prick towards Carmelo about being under the wrong tent. But I also know that 17-year-olds are quite stupid most of the time, and they have a really hard time regulating their emotions because their frontal lobes are not developed. So they react quickly and irrationally. And so the same can be said for Carmelo reacting irrationally and hastily. But unfortunately, because of this, there is a kid that is dead over something that never should have ended like this. It never should have amounted to a kid being dead over sitting under the wrong tent or over being told to move out of that tent. So do I believe that both sides are innocent or one side is guilty over the other? No, this whole situation sucks. But at the end of the day, Austin lost his life and Carmelo is going to have to answer for that. Like I said, I will continue to follow this case as it develops and eventually goes to trial. I'm sure it will, or there are going to be updates, whether there is a plea deal that comes about or whether there is actually a trial. I will continue to follow it, but I just wanted to get this out there as quickly as I could. So I'm sorry that it's not as polished as my episodes typically are, but hopefully this gives you the foundation of information that you need to understand what is going on in this case. I've also heard that within the same week, there was a school shooting in Dallas, so not far from Frisco, Texas. I mean, it's like 30 or 40 minutes, I believe. McKinney, Texas, I know, is like 30 or 40 minutes from Dallas, but what I'm trying to say is close to this location, there was also a school shooting where a black kid unloaded a gun in a school and injured multiple kids. That is literally all I know about it, but I have not seen hardly any information about it in mainstream media or on social media. So I'll look into that one as well, but it's just interesting to see the dynamic between these two stories. One is getting way, way more attention than the other. But anyway, okay, that was besides the point. I want to know how you feel about this case. So you can either leave it in a comment on the Spotify episode. They allow you to write comments on there and I can see them and respond to them. Or if you want to be anonymous, you can go to my website, mamamystery.com, and scroll down to the big white box. You can leave your messages there, or you can also message me or leave comments on Instagram at mama.mysterypodcast. I really do want to hear how you guys all feel about this case. It's tragic no matter what side you're on. So I'll leave it at that, and we will see you next week on Mama Mystery. Thank you so much for listening. Mama Mystery out. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.